provoke. The Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children, but nurture them. Train them up. Let it be for their benefit. Let me say this. If you're a single mom, or even if you're a mom and you're involved in the discipline, and you should be, you also don't provoke. But he's being very specific to fathers because fathers represent security and protection that kids feel. You can start seeing in your own life why you're not secure. If you did not have a godly father figure, you don't feel secure. You don't feel protected. And now think about it. If the father's supposed to make you feel secure and protected, and he's the one who provokes you, instead of him protecting you and making you feel secured, he's the one who's pulling the security out from under you and making you feel vulnerable and unprotected. Now, you can't trust God. So if you can't trust God, you've got to become your own protector, or you're going to get all intellectual. Now, if I think fast enough, and if I think hard enough, and if I figure things out, I can keep from somebody hurting me. I can make sure I always have enough money. I can make sure of this. In other words, all of a sudden, I've got to find a way to be secure. I've got to find a way to be protected. And many times, it'll go back to the very root here that we're seeing, or the very cause here of a father provoking you. Or if a father's not there, then there's no security or protection. Remember, he's talking to Christians. So he wasn't expecting the dad to be out of the picture. Because he says, if you're an orphan, if you're widowed, then he will step in and be the father. And this is good revelation. Okay, get a hold of this. And get a hold of this if you're a step-parent. Okay, get a hold of this. He says that he will be the husband to the husbandless, and he will be the father to the fatherless. Okay? God is saying here, look, if there's no father in this situation, I will step in supernaturally and provide that protection and security. And he can do it through the mother. He can do it through a step parent. Do you see what I'm saying? God says, I have a promise for you. If the enemy comes in and somehow takes away that father figure that's to bring protection and security, don't you worry. I'm going to step in and do it. Isn't that great? God covers everything. So we need to let him do that. If you're a step-parent, a stepfather especially here, you need to say, okay, Lord, where my child, well, these children do not feel protected and secure in their other situations because God's not involved, give me the grace to make them protected and secured. And let me say this, wouldn't you see why Satan would want to keep rage in you? So you can't make them feel nothing. I won't say nothing, but a lot of things hurt kids. But when children have to see a parent lose it, or become abusive against their mom or against the dad, when a child has to have all that protection and security completely pulled out from under them, you've got to take on a coping mechanism. Or you're going to take on some anger, or you're going to begin to deny things that are going on. You're going to get lost in drugs. You're going to get lost in alcohol. You're going to run somewhere to handle the fact that you have so much fear because you don't feel protected and you don't feel safe. And if you're an adult with adult children and you did not provide these things for your children because you didn't know, you need to repent, you need to ask God to forgive you, and you need to begin to pray this in, and you may even have to go talk to them. You may have to go and say, you know, I didn't know God then, or I didn't have this revelation, and I never made you feel protected or secure, did I? I really want, can I pray for you? I want to apologize for that. Folks, it's time. If we want to see our kids saved, if we want to see those kids come in, it's time to forget about our pride. We're supposed to let go of that anyway. Humble ourselves and do it God's way and watch God work. Repentance means to turn away from, but if it's in your power to change it, then you change it. And you humble yourself before the Lord. And then he says he'll heal your land. Then he'll answer your prayers. All right, provoke. To excite to some action or feeling. To anger, to irritate, to stir up an action or a feeling. To call something forth, to evoke it. And it's called vexing and annoying. Now, in the Word of God, there are scriptures where the Lord says that he stirs up the gifts within us. The Lord actually says that when the Jews did not choose to see their visitation and recognize Jesus Christ as Messiah, that he would use a heathen nation to provoke them to jealousy, okay? Now, what God is doing there is it's a supernatural positive stirring. In other words, now it hasn't happened because the church is so messed up, but when the church really gets right, then the Jews are going to begin to say, you know, maybe Jesus is the Messiah because look at the love. Look at how balanced there. It's not going to be for having false services and acting like we're Jewish when we're not. There's such crazy stuff going on in the body of Christ. I'm sorry. It's so ridiculous. What's going to stir them to this place of saying, could he be the Messiah, is going to be seeing something in our lives that they want, that they've been waiting for in the scriptures as they've waited on the Messiah. Okay. So remember, Satan builds his kingdom counterfeiting the real. So if God has a real power to stir up for good reasons, people, that they will do what's right, that they will seek after him. Do you see what I'm saying? Satan's going to have a counterfeit of stirring up action that's negative. Okay? So the provoking here is stirring up action that's negative. And we all probably need to repent of this. It's teasing. It didn't say just angry words. I always thought it was just like being mean and angry. It's teasing. It's basically trying to get somebody to react. Okay, it's trying to get somebody to react. And, you know, we're talking about manipulation next week. Think about it. That's all manipulation is. But provoking is where you have some power. You have some authority. And then you use it. And I'll give a perfect example that God had me repent for. And I repented to my son for. He would bring home like a B on his report card, or, well, he's never brought home below a B, but he'd bring home like a B. But it was making his average in his private school. He has to have really good grades to get in William & Mary. And he has the gifting for it. It's just more he's having a lot of fun. And you want that balance and all that. But what would happen when he would bring home a B, because you can't get bent over a B unless you are a control freak. But at the same time, when I know he could make an A, what I would say, and it was provoking, I would say, okay, if you want to go to the local community college, this is a great report card. Okay, I'm admitting it, all right? Don't look at me like, oh, there goes her halo, yay. All right? I didn't realize what provoking was. I come from a family of provokers. We are the provoking family. And if you were the strong ones that provoked and had the quick wit, you won. And then you had the other people bruised and bleeding and you didn't even notice. They can't dish it out. And one thing I found about provoking, which I've talked to my other son about, is, you know, if you're going to provoke, when they provoke back, a lot of times you become the butt of the jokes because people think you can take it. But then it hurts because you stirred up action. This isn't about your motive. You weren't trying to hurt anybody. The key is there is a spirit involved that does hurt people. That spirit then causes you to be rejected and hurt. And then there's that cycle. And many times in parenting, I think we think of we provoke them. But we always thought provoking was yelling and screaming. We didn't realize that provoking. What I should have said to Mitchell was, you know, Mitchell, you really want to go to William & Mary. You're really gifted to go to William & Mary. I know it's up to God. He knows his will for you, and we really only want you where he wants you. But how can I help to encourage you to get this up to an A because you are capable of it? Gosh, you mean actually sitting down and communicating with your children like they're human beings? I know it's a new concept, but God wants us to go there. And that's what we need to do with each other. You know what provoking is? It's when we don't want to just straight out communicate. We've learned shortcuts, and it's really manipulation. It's the baby stages of manipulation, but it stirs up. It's like when little Mikey here sees his brother playing with a toy, and little Mikey comes over, totally innocent, of course, and grabs the toy. And this is, oh, I was just looking at it, I was giving it back. And then Corey screams, and the next thing you know, they're fighting. What he did when he took the toy was he provoked him. He knew that his brother was not going to be happy and say, I love sharing my toys with my bigger brother. Please have some more. Okay? And that's how it starts, though. They watch it in the parents. And many times we provoke people when we want them to say what we want them to say. Ladies, you're much more gifted at this than most men. And men don't even know what you're getting at. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just saying, I wish you would have helped me with the laundry, you do something more like stomping around and saying, I'm the only one who does anything around here. I'm the only one who does anything around here. And you're just kind of throwing things and all this. And basically, really, you're stirring. What are you trying to do? You're trying to stir them to action. And guys, it's also provoking when you just decide you won't talk. Honey, can you, you know, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. Can we turn the TV off? You know, I'm going to watch this. instead of really telling you what's wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? So provoking is any action that causes you to try to stir up an emotion or a feeling in someone else. And God says, fathers, don't do that. No one should do it. It's demonic, okay? But specifically, now how many in here would say, as a child, and I really don't feel this happened that much for me as far as in the parenting. My parents were straight out. You do that, you get a spanking. You did it, you got the spanking. I mean, it was pretty clear cut. There was no room for manipulation in my growing up. You wouldn't get a by with it. But I do know it was a teasing thing. And you know the saying, I got your goat. Has anyone ever heard that or said that? I don't know if it's a real Southern thing or what, but I got your goat. I don't know for sure why they call it a goat. Probably if I looked up goat, it'd give me an idea. But you like getting somebody's goat. And basically, you were provoking that person to anger. When did you get their goat? When you got them mad. And so what we're dealing with first tonight is what happened to us to provoke us. Some of you were in situations that you couldn't control. I mean, I know there's someone, at least one person in this room, who was sexually abused by a sibling, and the sibling was bigger. And believe it or not, that intimidation and all is provoking, okay? Because if you tell, you've got this feeling that you're going to be in big trouble, and it's going to destroy the whole family. And so you've got this whole bunch of junk going on. Plus you got the devil talking to you the whole time. And so what happens is you begin to hold in these feelings or this anger, especially this is good. Okay. If you're provoked and you let it loose, okay, you won't get rage, but you'll constantly be fighting and constantly not being led of the Spirit. And so we want to get rid of provoking even in situations where there's no rage, right? Why? Because we want God to stir people up. We don't want to be helping the devil to make people angry. We don't want to be part of that sin cycle. But if you're provoked and you can't demonstrate anger, you know, I would think, you know, Travis, because you know you have some rage issues you guys are dealing with, it must be very hard, because who are you going to come out of the wheelchair and hit, you know? And so it's this helplessness, it's this unfairness. If you're a small person, and you see this a lot, you see people who are small for their age, and they're constantly provoked, but they know they can't really do anything, and they begin to hold that anger in. If you're in a family where you're the one that everybody picks on, you could hold that in. It's basically a spirit that you take on because you cannot release your anger. When I was praying for Edie about this, I saw, and I'm not saying it's literally this, but God gives me pictures. It's like a box. It's like a box in you. And it can take but so much provoking, and it blows. So you're not really blowing up at what you're angry at. But then that makes you feel even worse, because your child just said no to you. You told them to come wash their hands, and they said no, and you went crazy. Then they get to manipulate that and make you feel bad about that and try to hurt you with that. Do you see what I'm saying? The truth is your little box started getting full. They bickered for 2 hours there. They did this. Somebody at work did this. Somebody did this. And there's this constant, I can't do anything about this. I don't have control here. I can't release this. And then it hits a point and it goes. Some people will drink to just not deal with their past. And sometimes when you add that alcoholic spirit with the rage, you'll totally lose it. Because now, what have you lost? Thank you, Lord. You've lost that spirit of control that you purposely put with your intellect in front of that rage. So it works like this. Inside of you, you feel like you're about to blow up. Inside of you, things aren't fair. Inside of you, it's never been right. You begin to think, maybe there is something wrong with me. You know, maybe I am evil. Maybe I am full of hate. And usually you'll have somebody going along provoking you, saying, you're so evil. You're so full of hate. You're just like your father. You're just like your mother. You're just like your grandmother when she goes nuts. You're just like this or that. And so there's this constant feeling that goes along with this of the devil having specific things planted in you to say, something's really wrong with me. And if I respond with this, it's going to prove that they're right. It's going to prove that they're right. Some people who can't remember parts of their past, and I think this would be you, Marion, it's because of that rage. The only way for me to handle this is it didn't happen. When you turn your mind over to denial, you give the devil such freedom into your mind, freedom into your emotions, freedom into every area of your thinking. And that's why you got to go back. The roller coaster ride to addictions is a teaching on getting back your mind from the enemy where you purposely turned it over to him. I can't handle this. I'm turning this over. I think that's with schizophrenic. I think when something happens so bad and you can't deal with it, you say, this didn't happen. This did not happen. I'm breaking away from reality. I'm just saying it didn't happen. Then it'll be okay. And then the enemy owns that part of you. And really you're afraid of that deep anger and that deep rage. And then you feel so bad when you go off. Does this make sense to anybody? Here's how I feel like the Lord showed me it happens. Things happen to you. You can't respond. You would be wrong to respond, or you're taught, don't talk back to me, or it's just unfair. And something happens where you absolutely cannot. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. We got a tape on that. It's very good. But all of a sudden, I'm angry and I can't not sin with it. Because the Bible says, don't go to sleep on it. The Bible's so strong about it. It says, don't go to sleep on it, or you give a foothold to the enemy. A foothold. When God says, look, this one particular area, if there's anger and you go to sleep on it, you don't deal with it, you don't handle it, you don't communicate it, then you are actually giving the devil a freedom in your life. And the Bible says so, doesn't it? It said, if you go to sleep on that anger, you give the enemy a foothold. Somebody can look up that scripture if they want to see where it's at. I just know it's in there. I don't have time to do that tonight. So think about that. Suppressed anger is a foothold to the enemy. What's it a foothold for? I believe it's a foothold for rage. I believe it's a foothold for rage. I only saw my husband go into rage one time ever. Our daughter had died. We went through it, okay? And it was so unfair. And he was so angry at God because he didn't understand the enemy. It didn't matter to him intellectually. I don't understand all that. I just know my daughter's dead and I couldn't do anything about it. And I'll never forget, one day out of nowhere, he lost it. I've never seen him. My husband's very, very easy going. It takes a lot to make him blow. And if you got my two boys constantly doing the provoking thing, which we need to get out of them, and he still doesn't blow, I'm telling you, my husband's idea of a loud voice is, stop that. Just so even keel. And this one time, it was for nothing major, and he just went nuts. He just started screaming, and he totally lost it. It's the only time I've ever seen anybody go into a total rage, and it was very scary. I just stood there, though, and went to this rage, and he threw something, and all the stuff on our desk went flying, including some things Lauren had made. And I just stood there because I had the power of God on me, and I looked right at him, and I said, you will not act like that around me. I said, if you need a counselor, go to a counselor. If you need to go out there and cry and scream out to God to heal you, then you cry and scream out to God to heal you. But I am not going to live with outburst of anger. And I said, I love you, and I know it's difficult, but God has the answer. You need to go to him. And I said, so just leave until you've worked this out, but I'm not going to put up with this. I wasn't going to enable rage. And when my husband left, I felt really, because devil right away, he's going to die in a car accident. It's going to be all your fault because you sent him home. I said, devil, shut up. I began to pray for him. I pleaded the blood over him. I asked God to protect him. My husband came back a few hours later. He's never had a rage outburst since. I think if I had fed that, if it became an acceptable form of behavior, then that's where we would be. And that's been years. It's been like 10 years. Not one other outburst. But I remember saying when he came back, and I prayed the whole time for him. It wasn't that I didn't love him. It wasn't that I didn't understand. It's like, this isn't acceptable. You went through the whole funeral. You went through these months and months of hurt, and you didn't really let God take your sorrow and grief. You didn't really go to him, and you let this build up. You went to bed angry on this hurt and pain. And nobody, this isn't about judging or that. This is about just how the devil works. And I remember God was so cool because when John came home and he was crying, he said, I am so sorry. He said, Cindy, I could have killed you. He said, I didn't have a clue what I did. I've never, ever had anything like that happen before. And I looked at him and said, no, you couldn't kill me. I said, because God takes care of me. I said, and you just have to go and let God heal you. And then he started crying. He said, I broke her stuff, didn't I? I broke the little handprint she made. And I broke those little, you know, they all make those little ashtrays even though nobody smokes. They still make those even in Christian school because it's with clay. It's the easiest thing to make. And she made two of those. Do you know that that little plaster hand went flying off of that thing and didn't even break? And I picked it up and I said, look, it's okay. And he, a grown man, he started crying and he said, that's a miracle. He said, God took care of that. That's a miracle because we couldn't have replaced that. One of the last chairs got broke, but he had two that were okay. And I'm just saying, even as a spouse, don't allow your children to go to bed angry. Don't allow rage in your house. Sit down, deal with it, get prayer for it. It doesn't matter how much you feel you're justified to be that angry. No one should give the devil that kind of foothold in their life. No one. And if you've got stuff suppressing it, let's get it out. Let's just get it out. And when I was talking about Justin, when I was trying, see, you thought I'd forget, but God doesn't forget anything. When I was trying to get the demons out of him, he was so scared that he would kill me because he had a spirit of murder. And he was so scared that he would hurt me because he knew what, he will tell you that he used to go in rages that were so violent, he doesn't have a clue what happened, but people were really hurt. And he wouldn't let go. And I remember when we got this out of you way back, Edie. You got, she's got this whole look. She had such a rage and she had such a thing that she was going to hurt me. And so I finally had to say, look, God's bigger than you guys. He's bigger than these devils. I won't get hurt. And you got to know who you are in Christ to stand before people who are a lot bigger than you, who take their fist and want to pound you. And it's happened to me on more than one occasion. I'm going to kill you. I said, no, you're not in the name of Jesus. And I've had total strangers God had me take these devils out of and want to kill me. And just, you see them there. And you're like, oh, God, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Whew, let them see you now. You want to live a clean life if you're going to do this. So you can live to keep doing this. So anyway, but I told Justin and Edie, and I said, you know, you're going to have to trust God. And they actually had to see me do quite a few deliverances with big people. And I mean, you know, talking, demons talking about, I mean, the one in Irene way back really wanted to kill me. And then finally they knew she'll be all right. And that's when we could get it out. And I say that because your control spirit is demonic, okay? It's just as demonic as the rage. So you don't bring a devil in to keep a devil from erupting. All that does is put a devil in charge of when. And you're going to have to put God in charge and let God take the thing out. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Some people might have to go back to the very first time they got angry and shoved it. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It just has to be something that seems so unfair. Mark, this could be something that you might have deep down. This could be why you took on such a meek personality. It's like, you know, I'm walking away from anything that seems macho because I'm scared that this thing's going to erupt and I'm going to really hurt somebody. I'm a big guy. I could really hurt somebody. And that deep, deep fear of I don't want to hurt anybody. Dan, this may really have to do with why you took on that refinement thing. I'm just being serious. With your whole neighborhood and being brought up where there was fights all the time and this rage inside and this isn't fair and this hurt, you could take on something to say, I'm going to be refined. I'm going to be the opposite of this. And then there's still that rage in there. And I have a feeling it's where the migraines come from. Because it's so much trying to say, that's not who I am. And the truth is, it isn't who you are. You are not that rage. If you have Christ in you, you are not a violent person. If you have Christ in you, that's who you were created in the enemy. That's not who you are. Do you get that? And you can start to separate from that thing. And you don't have to have this control thing. You don't have to have this false personality or anything. Even with that, I think some of the men that you see that seem so meek, it's because they're so much trying to hide this rage. And what you have to realize, I think everybody has something happen to them that doesn't seem fair. And it's how much you stuff that thing. I used to have a rage. Mine wasn't, you know, mine just was at specific things. And I would just go nuts. I never hurt anybody, thank God, but I would just go nuts over nothing and scream when my daughter would be too slow getting in the car and she tried to get her sock right. And it's because I judged my mother. My mother had rage. If you judge something, you get it. It can be that simple. You didn't even have to be hurt. You could judge something. If you judge something, the Bible says, whatever you judge, you get. So there's all these different reasons. And the truth is, who cares how you got it? Unless you need to go there to get free from it. Does this make sense? Okay, isn't it something that this stuff is so simple? But it really is. And we got proof and proof and proof of people have gotten free. Now, if you've got a real strong control issue or you've got a real strong coping mechanism to not let this rage out, then you might need to really get the gatekeeper and controls coming down before I can get this thing out. I'm just telling you. If you're seeing this and God's showing you where it came in from and you can see what you used to hide it, then we can get it out tonight. I mean, I can't make this stuff happen before it's real, that you can see it. So how about, we can all do this altar call, unless you never did this. We don't make people do anything. So if you're not comfortable yet with getting prayed for something, don't worry about it. You don't have to get prayed for. You probably just stand there scared anyway with an intellect thing going, don't touch me. I'm not falling. If she makes me fall, I'm not falling. And, you know, God doesn't work with all that stuff. Okay? When you know it's God and you want to get free and you say, Lord, let your anointing break the yoke. I got the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And the anointing breaks the yoke. When people fall out under the power of God, or power of God hits them, it's just biblically laying hands on people, which is an elementary teaching of the Word of God that says, let the power of God that's in me, that He placed in me because of my relationship with Him, come and break the chains that Satan has you hold to. That's all it is, okay? Everybody makes a big deal out of it. It is fun, and very few people have enough power of God in their life for people to fall out, and that's a shame. The church should all be walking in this. The Bible itself says that laying on of hands is an elementary teaching.